Hey, where are we going?
We're going to FlintCon.
Wargaming Road Trips.
Last time we were here was 2020, right?
2020, we...
just before COVID?
We started COVID.
We started it.
We brought COVID to Canada from Flint, Michigan.
I remember telling you at the time, or just right afterwards, that I was sick in a way that I'd never been sick before. Clearly had a cold. It was an unusual cold. And I just wasn't really paying attention to what was going on in the world. 3 years of COVID later, and we're back.
We're back. So, Hamilton, Ontario to Flint, Michigan.
Three and a half hours.
Looking at, for some reason, last time it took us 4.5 hours.
Well, that's because we went to Detroit, Michigan Toy Soldier Company.
With Mr. Lee.
Mr. Lee Van Shake of Raffam and Crucible Crush. Yeah, we went down to see those guys, but we were so late, they actually had to keep the store open for us. And then afterwards, we went for something to eat.
Yep, the lads treated us to some delicious American diner food.
I don't think they treated us. I think they just
gave us a tour.
They just showed us where it was. I'm sure the treating, I don't think they treated us. I'm sure we paid. And then we went to Airbnb where you almost killed us all with the gas fireplace.
I shouldn't be allowed in your gas fireplaces.
You almost died. Let's think about this for a second. Who on earth puts a gas fireplace in a rental?
Yeah.
Let's just think
and let strangers stay there. That's, yeah.
Okay. With minimal instruction on how to operate the gas fireplace. That was just strange. I kept getting woken up all through the night with you messing around with this gas fireplace.
I was terrified I broke something and we were going to wake up, not wake up, CO poisoning overnight.
Well, Lee was fine. He was in the room by himself.
We were kipping on the sofa.
Well, I was kipping on the sofa. You're the one who had the...
curled up like a lap dog by your feet. So we're in the car.
We're in the car.
We're heading back.
What did you do last time?
I don't remember.
You don't remember?
There was a brilliant Star Wars game. Battle of Hoth?
Yeah, that was Matt from Michigan Soldier Company did that, and I've forgotten the name of his buddy that ran it with him. Nice guy. They had that podcast. Can't remember what it was called. So that's one for the show notes.
Yeah, and I think it was Triumph.
You played in the Star Wars game?
I played one out of the Star Wars game. It was great fun. They put a lot of care into those miniatures. They found, I don't remember what scale it was, but it was small.
They were like 10 mil.
And they found...
No, they weren't. Excellent. They were smaller than that.
They found excellent proxies for snowtroopers, for rebels.
Yeah, yeah.
They used the Bandai snow speeders and these AT-ATs, AT-STs. I don't know, the big ones.
I remember it being a very visually impressive game. I'm not a huge Star Wars guy, but I remember really liking the look
of it. Great convention game, though, because the kids were drawn in and everyone had little units. You could abandon your unit, let someone else fill in for you, pop in, roll some dice and wander off and you're done.
You hit the nail on the head there. Really good convention game. It's something that draws people in. It's an attractive game. It's immediately relatable because it's a franchise everybody knows. Can you remember what the rules were?
Nope. Didn't take notes for 4 years ago.
Well, we'll take notes this time.
What was on? What were your highlights 4 years ago?
I played Sharp Practice with Mike.
Like you always do?
I don't always play Sharp Practice. I like to play Sharp Practice, so I play it a lot. American Civil War Sharp Practice. And then afterwards, it was two games of Chain of Command.
Well, I could have guessed that.
Which is interesting because there's no Two Fat Lardies content this time at all. This time I'm playing Renaissance Naval, hopefully War Master.
Yeah, I think they had three sessions of War Master on this guy's...
Three sessions of War Master. If I could play all three sessions, I probably would.
I hear 3D printing set off a whole renaissance for that community.
It's going to be interesting to see if his stuff is 3D printed. I suspect at least some of it will be 3D printed. I wasn't anticipating seeing anything other than the original figures. But now you've said that. I've seen it. I've seen the Facebook groups. Just amazing, high-quality prints of these things. And it's interesting because it wouldn't have occurred to me that 3D printing would have filled that gap that quickly. And it really has. It's really taken off. I mean, there's whole companies that are just 3D prints of 10mm War Master stuff. And it's nice stuff. Good-looking stuff. Way beyond my ability to paint it.
Well, I'm just here for the bring it by. It was such a highlight last time.
The flea market?
The flea market. People in Flint.
Really nice people.
Lovely people. Fair prices on some really cool miniatures.
There was stuff, I remember I picked up a whole bunch of Old Glory Ottomans, late medieval, early Renaissance Ottomans that I've been looking for.
I remember fighting for you over those.
Well, we ended up fighting. I ended up giving you the stuff I didn't want.
All right, all
right. And then, if I remember correctly, after you making a fuss about me buying all of it, 6 months went by and you were like,
I haven't painted it at all.
I don't want this stuff anyway. You can have it.
Yeah. That's what usually happens.
And I think I gave all the Rao... There were some Rao Parthas mixed in there with the Old Glory Ottomans, and I think I gave all the Rao Parthas to Lee. And I'm fairly sure he has also done nothing with them. But I was really impressed with the 25mm Old Glory Ottomans because they match my Perry of the same time period almost perfectly. Like, I put them next to each other and the height is almost exact. So for me, that's great because I've had a lot of problems with Old Glory not matching with newer sculpts.
Mm-hmm.
So you've seen my Boers, right? Where my Old Glory Boers are a completely different heft to, I think it's tag.
I haven't felt the heft of your boars recently.
Recently. I'm excited about the bring and buy, but I'm also trepidatious about the bring and buy because last time I bought home armfuls of stuff. And it doesn't matter. I explained to my wife, listen, this only cost me $100. But it's a lot of stuff. Now, of course, I don't tell her it costs $100. What I immediately do is whatever the first number I come up with in my head, I cut that number in half and then cut in half again. So I go, oh, it only cost me $25.
Hey, lying to your wife is scarier than lying to the customs officer at the border.
They know. The customs guys know. They always know when they just... I think with us, my major concern about going through customs and having to clear this stuff is if they want to take a look at it and then I have to explain it to them. And then they judge me.
Another highlight of mine was the food last time. Vegan pizza. We go to a lot of Canadian, well, Southern Ontario cons, and I have never been treated to such delicious food before. They really, you know, they're considerate here. They plan ahead. They plan options. It was great.
It's going to be interesting to see if you get vegan pizza this time. I just want to point out, I don't I don't share your strange dietary proclivities, so it's irrelevant to me whether it's vegan pizza or not. What are you playing this time? I said, I want to play Renaissance Naval and War Master. What do you think?
I haven't planned ahead whatsoever. Along for the ride for the... Yep.
Kind of like that. There's so freedom there.
So FlintCon is at St. Paul's...
St. Paul's Lutheran Church and School. I don't know what the connect here is, so we'll have to ask Rod.
It's a great venue, though.
It's nice. The light was nice. That's what I remember. I remembered looking at the photographs and being like, oh, it's in a sports hall. And I've done plenty of events in sports halls before, like the gymnasium, and the light's been terrible, but the light here was great.
Yeah, and the parking is...
The parking...
Because it was a busy event.
We're looking at how many car parking spaces, 200 spots, easy.
I remember it being pretty full.
I think there was about 120 people last time. Last Rod, what the attendance was at the last one, which we missed. We didn't go to the last FlintCon. We missed one. This is a new era of FlintCon. Hopefully we don't miss another one.
Such a lovely drive, straight down the highway.
That's the way I drive, though. Let's roll some dice, Dan.
Let's do it.
All right, Danny boy, was that good for you?
That was brilliant. I'm absolutely knackered, though.
Yeah, it was a long day.
Up early.
The issue was not so much the up early is the fact that we stayed up late.
Enjoying the nightlife of Flint.
Yes, we stayed up late, and that was the problem. I think it's nice to pretend that the early morning was the problem, but it was the late night that was the problem.
It was a lovely restaurant we ended up in.
It was an interesting restaurant, yes. It was where we went afterwards. was what prolonged our night out.
So it was an early start, though. Rod asked us if we'd come in early.
Yeah, we helped out with the raffle. Rod had been donated a whole bunch of stuff, older GW, some War Machine stuff. What was it, Star Trek? What was the board game he had?
The board game?
It was
a lot of RPGs. The only board games I remember were HeroQuest and old Blood Bowl.
Star Trek Fleet Battles or something?
Yes, there was. I thought that was an RPG. I know nothing about it.
Yeah.
There was a lot of treasures. It wasn't as old as I was hoping.
when people say old GW and what they actually mean is like 2005, and I think they must mean 1987.
It's kind of when you stop collecting.
2005 is when I stopped collecting, and 1987
that's
is
the new stuff.
I remember buying it in 1987, so it can't be that old, can it?
So the raffle was raising money for...
It's for the kids. They were going to Washington, D.C., some kind of trip for, I think, the seniors. Rod did tell me, and the specifics of it were lost on me, but I know the kids were helping out at the event at the same time, and all the money raised goes to the kids. So to the best of my understanding, they made $500 on the raffle.
Brilliant.
And it was 170 plus people there, 170-ish.
500 on the raffle alone.
500 on the raffle alone, which felt good because we separated that up into the four different...
That was super easy. It was a lot of donated stuff, separated into four or five different tables.
Well, it was super easy because we weren't involved in going and picking it up, right? someone very nicely put it on a trolley for us, brought it over, put it on the tables, and then we split it up between four or five tables? Either way, I don't think we contributed as much as we think we did, but it was nice to be involved and it was nice to help out.
So we got there, we set up the raffle.
Yep. And then Rod had us help somebody price once again what we were told was old GW stuff. And we get over there to look at it, and it's right out of area of understanding.
Mine is Forge World.
There was
resin.
I remember when Forge World just started, and this was not the stuff that Forge World started with. Didn't it used to just be Specialist Games and then became Forge World, or was it Forge World and then Specialist Games? I don't know.
I never had the budget for that to be part of my gaming experience, so it was all new to me, which, you know, glad we could help her out organizing and
that was nice.
Figure out what were treasures.
It was interesting seeing some of it, to see what is this. And that's kind of the treasure hunt.
Got into it. I almost missed my game.
We were both late starting, right? We were so involved in rooting through these treasures of old, which weren't as old as we'd initially been led to believe. You still played. What did you play?
It was Triumph. It was the Battle of Hattin. Yep. Hattin, is that how you pronounce it?
I think it's Hattin.
Yeah, it was a lovely, massive table, gorgeous models.
Beautiful figures, which are Rod's, I believe, right?
Yeah, I think I played the same game 4 years ago at FlingCon.
The same game?
Same model, same table.
Same figures, like Crusades?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Same period, same figures, different battle.
Yeah, it was good fun. It was 1187,
exhausted
Crusaders crossing the desert, and the Sultan Saladin ambushing these exhausted Crusaders, just wiping the floor with them. Unfortunately, for my game, the opposite happened, where the Saladin just didn't know what he was doing, and the Crusaders, they were ready. They were full of energy. The desert was not holding them back.
I like it. A historical outcome. I like it.
But
I have no idea who won the Battle of Hattin. Was it the Crusaders?
No.
It was an ahistorical outcome.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
All right, okay.
The reroll jars.
Oh, I forgot about the reroll jars.
That kind of changed things up. Got to splash some cash. You know, it didn't help. It didn't help me, at least.
So,
but it was an interesting concept to raise money for the kids.
Yeah, so what happened with that precisely? If you wanted to reroll, you had to pay $5?
We had, I think it was $1 for one reroll on the number of command points you get when you roll that dice.
Yeah, so every game had a different way of deciding what you're allowed to roll for, right?
So Rod dropped the jars on each table and asked the GMs if they consider implementing a reroll somehow in their game where players could drop some cash in the jar and have a chance to reroll the dice. So it was up to the GMs how they interpreted it. And I think they did it in a pretty fair way. We had a limit of you can only pay to reroll once and you were stuck with that reroll. So it, you know, obviously changed flow of the game somewhat, but it wasn't too pay to play.
Interestingly, both the games I played, and we played in the War Master game, I don't remember seeing the jar at the War Master game.
No, the War Master game was super casual. It was good fun.
Oh, no, that's not what I was getting at. I don't remember the reroll jar there. I don't know, maybe I just wasn't paying attention. But Rod said that they raised $300 and something.
$300?
Yeah.
That's how much people want those sixes.
That's how poorly gamers roll. They needed to spend I'm saying it wrong. It was $300 from the reroll jar and the code check. I also started late, wanted to play in that Renaissance naval game. Mm-hmm. I got up from helping pry stuff at about 10 a.m. and all the games started at 9. I rocked over to the game. They were well into it. So I was like, okay, well, I guess I've driven 3.5 hours and I'm not going to play a game. And which is funny because my wife said, are you going to drive 3.5 hours and just stand around talking to people like you always do? I was like, no, I'm going to play. And then I'm sitting there looking at these people playing the Renaissance Naval game that I was going to play and thinking, yeah, I've driven 3.5 hours and I'm not going to play anything. So I started walking around, looking at what people were playing. And my friend Mitchell and her husband David were playing in a Blackstone Fortress game. And I kind of lurked a little bit, just chatting with them. I haven't seen them in 3 years since we were last there. Adam, the GM, I think what was happening was the level was resetting. And Adam said, well, you could actually, if you wanted to join in, this would be a good point. There's room for another player.
What game was that again?
That was Blackstone Fortress.
That's that Games Workshop sculpted some of the old classics, Rogue Trader era stuff in
there. There was stuff in there that there was a Rogue Trader, I think. There was a robot. That's that sentient robot that's not supposed to exist. I can't actually remember what those are called. Anyway, excellent game. Beautiful figures. I took some snappers and I sent them to you. Beautiful figures, great people to play with. Chris was the other fella that was playing. I'm always mindful of when you jump into a game, you're actually putting everyone else on pause for a little bit because the GM has to explain stuff to you. But everyone was very patient. And it was, you know, it was really nice to play with people that I knew and hadn't seen for so long. So that was nice. It was nice to get into that. And then in the afternoon, we both played
War Master. That was good fun. I forgot how much fun that game was.
The person putting it on was
Jut.
See, he told me his name. I didn't catch it immediately. And I felt kind of embarrassed because he's already on my Facebook. So I wanted to say, excuse me, can you say that again? But I was too Canadian to do that. So I just didn't ask. So this whole time, every time I wanted to get his attention, I was avoiding saying his name. So hopefully I never do that again.
So he had 4 armies on the table ready to go?
It was Bretonians versus Undead. And it was the same game twice. So the board was split in two. And it was one versus one. So what was the name of the guy you were playing?
I forget his name.
Wasn't it Mike?
It could have been.
No, I think Mike was the fella that was sitting on my side who was helping out with the rules. Either way, it was super nice game, really nice looking. What was interesting is we'd thought there's going to be some 3D printed stuff in here. All original GW classics. Stuff. So nice to see them. But this was interesting for me. I think I enjoyed the game a lot more back then. I liked it, don't get me wrong. I really liked playing, but something was different.
Well, this wasn't the classic rules, was it? This was the fan-made War Master Revolution rules.
Is it that different, though?
I don't know if it's that different. For me, it was great. I felt it moved swiftly. I jumped in. Maybe it was the knowledge was unlocked in the back of my brain, but I was able to pick it up right away, and it flowed well, and it was good fun.
I had a heck of a time with it just because I couldn't get back into it. Again, I'm not saying I didn't enjoy it, but I thought what would happen is I'd sit down and suddenly I'd remember everything, be able to play just as well as I always did. And I kind of felt disarmed by the way the units were moving. It didn't feel as natural as I was expecting it to. Again, I think that was me. And also what I think was happening is I was confusing some of the elements of the game with another rule set that I used to play in Vancouver, which was a 6mm ancients game that was converted to have fantasy elements. And I can't remember what that game was called, but it was close enough to playing War Master to throw me off. That's the story of my life when it comes to games.
So between those two gaming sessions, the students and the parent council of the school put on a great lunch.
Lunch was good. Did you get your vegan pizza?
I got my vegan pizza. They made special accommodation for me, which is brilliant. It wasn't just me. There was one other vegan there.
Did they eat any of the pizza?
I don't think so. I, you know, it was fundraising for the school. I bought the whole pizza. It's here with me in the car.
it smells amazing.
I paid full fundraising price, too.
I'm so glad this pizza's in the car with us.
3.5-hour drive home.
With vegan pizza, yes.
But they had donuts, which I hear were the best donuts in Genesee County.
Oh, kids had table service.
Amazing for a con.
First time the kid came up and asked me if I wanted anything, I didn't understand what was happening. And then the second time, I realized I could order food from this child. And normally, this would be excellent. I'd be like, right, okay, I need a lot of food right now, because I'm Wargamer size, this takes a lot of feeding. And then I'm like, I don't want to be handling donuts while I'm playing miniature games.
With someone else's...
Someone else's figures. So I only ended up getting drinks. So like I said, that was a weird thing for me. Normally I'm like, okay, I want 8 donuts, 11 hot dogs right now. And I want them on a small plate so they're not in the way. So like a pyramid of food, please. So I ended up not eating the donuts this time. But last time I thought they were amazing. Amazing enough to take a picture of them and send it to my wife. But this time I didn't do that. Dan, you said you were super excited about the Bring 'Em By, but I noticed you actually didn't buy that much.
Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with me, but nothing really excited me. I got a couple things.
Maybe you're just getting old and stuff doesn't excite you anymore.
I think that was it.
Been married too long.
Yeah. running out of space to put it all.
That's not where I was going with that, but okay. Right.
So how'd you do with the Bring 'Em By?
First of all, I bought a bunch of GW, just random bits, like a bunch of old Eldar things.
Nice.
And I saw Rogue Trader era Wraith Guard, like the bits. And so I bought all of the bits to get the Wraith Guard. And I'm fairly sure it's not complete. So, and I paid more than I would have done because it said whatever it was, $40. And I'm like, $40? That's a bargain. And now I've done the conversion. It wasn't as good as I thought it was. I spent more than I should have done. And then I got the World War One figures. I bought some Great War miniatures stuff and some old Battle Honours stuff, which I haven't seen in forever. Nice. Battle Honours British. I think I remembered them fondly, but I'm not sure they're as good as they used to be because there's stuff now that's better. But we'll see. I'll get them home and I'll put them up against the stuff I've already got because I've got so much of Bob Murch's pulp figures. Looking at them, I think the heft is good. And I think the hide is good, so we'll see. I'm really picky about how stuff matches and works with each other, so we'll see. I really lucked out by getting some of the old Citadel Miniatures Doctor Who figures.
Oh, nice. You don't see those quite often in North America, do you?
I don't, but what's funny is these are from Ontario. They're Raffam. Raffam made these, so which is interesting. You think we'd see more of them. And then what's interesting is the first 15mm figures I ever bought were from Raffam. So they came from Ontario and I bought them at a store in England. So these are the old Raffam Citadel figures in the police box.
Nice.
When we looked them up online, they're not actually particularly collectible. But either way, I'm happy to have them. And then somebody, Dan, made me buy a whole bunch of Inquisitor magazines.
Did I make you? Did I send you some pictures of them?
No, you did. You didn't send me pictures. Oh, did you send me pictures of them?
Yeah, but that's inconsequential to this. Did I make you buy them?
Yes, you did.
I don't even know what they are. Is that an official GW product?
No, it's a fanzine. I don't know what happened to all those fanzines of old. I remember there used to be fanzines for Traveller. There used to be fanzines for Call of Cthulhu. I remember going to, was it the Virgin Megastore in central London? And there were like 10, 15, 20, 30 different fanzines that were all unofficial. And now, I guess that's what the internet is. But I wonder what happened to all these fanzines.
More special when you have it in your hand though, isn't it?
There's certainly something about that, having something that's tactile, something you can physically flip through. But at the same time, there's not really an abundance of North American wargaming magazines. So maybe it's just something we had in England that was a cultural thing there. It's like Wargames Illustrated. If you wanted to find when the next show was, you just looked in Wargames Illustrated and there was pages of shows that you would just go to. Now it's hard to find a lot of these shows Like, unless you're connected to the right Facebook groups or you're on a Discord channel or something, you're not finding them. And to get back onto the point here, yes, you did make me buy the Inquisitor magazines. What were they? They were $10?
It's for a big pile.
$10 for a big pile. So, of course, I'm not going to leave them there, a bargain like that. You know I can't say no.
Well, I also know you have that complete White Dwarf collection. I thought,
I don't have a complete White Dwarf collection. All right.
You've got shelves of the stuff.
I do have shelves of White Dwarfs, but an incomplete collection of them, yes. Thanks for rubbing salt in that particular wound.
Well, now you have an incomplete collection of Inquisitor magazines, too.
Yeah, something else to make me hunt through eBay at 3 o'clock in the morning trying to find them. Thanks, Dan. You bought something from this fella, too, right? What did you get?
I brought, a bunch of Gorka Morka supplements that I think I already have, but that game was such a big part of my childhood. Whenever I see Gorka Morka anything, I have to scoop it up.
When you say supplements, do you mean official GW supplements,
yeah,
or there was something else?
Yeah, they had the magazine, forget the name of it, it's somewhere in the car here with me now. The magazines had additional rules.
I know what you mean. At one point, especially,
we can pull over and grab it, but
it's not going to happen. Once we're in motion. There was a time when everything had like a supplement, right?
Yeah. Well,
there was one for Inquisitor, not Inquisitor magazine, but Inquisitor had something, Necromunda had something, and of course I can't remember what any of them are called. After we spent all that time saying this was our jam and our period of GW.
Well, I do remember that's where all the fun rules were. So things like, I don't even know, but...
Was it the Journal? No.
No, Citadel Journal, that was a thing.
The Citadel Journal was a thing, but that's not what we're talking about, is it? You've got Gorka Morka goodness.
Gorka Morka goodness, and then also, like you, with the Wrathom for some reason, which is funny, because I was playing games at the Wrathom factory 3 weeks ago. But then I go to the US and impulse purchased some cheap Wrathom things. Canadians in pith helmets.
What do you want those for?
I have no idea. No. They were cheap. The seller was nice. I couldn't let them sit there.
It would almost be unpatriotic to leave
them. That's what it is. I'm rescuing them, bringing them, repatriating them back to Canada.
You bought Wrathom stuff. I bought Wrathom stuff, and we live 20 minutes away from...
Hey, it's local pride, isn't it?
Yeah, but we bought it in the States.
Yeah.
So we're coming back, right?
Absolutely. This was a lot of fun.
I'm glad we came back.
Yeah.
3.5 hours.
The time flew by. The roads are great.
Well, that's not strictly true. We went the wrong way. He was trying to make us take a ferry crossing that had been closed for 10 years. So, okay, the roads were great, but the directions weren't awesome. But yeah, definitely coming back. I really like the venue. I like the variety of games. It feels like a different type of game to what we would get in Southern Ontario. I'm not sure what that is. I don't know why some areas have a slightly different gaming culture to others, but this always feels like when we come here, the games we're playing here, we wouldn't play in Southern Ontario. They wouldn't be something we'd grab. Even if it's the same rule sets, there's something about the historical period that's slightly different. You know what I'm trying to say.
I don't, actually. Quality content.
Quality content. Yeah, well, I was trying to make a point, then I lost it. Thanks, Dan. I thought you were going to rescue me on that one and go, oh, yeah, I know exactly what point you're trying to make about how different areas have a different way of doing things. And, of course, some areas, there's going to be a local guy who drives a historical period and they all attach to it. But, no, you just left me hanging. Thanks, buddy.
It was a long day.
It felt like a really long day, but we left early.
Yeah, we got a long drive ahead of us.
We left so early, when we told Rod, he looked surprised and said, well, I'll do the raffle now, I suppose, which was nice of him.
Yeah.
And what did we win?
Nothing.
Nothing. Which is only fair, really, considering we're the ones that put all the things out. Imagine if we'd won. I don't think people would have appreciated that. They wouldn't have felt that we'd really helped.
Right. So where are we going next?
Where are we going next? I'm going to Hot Lead.
Yeah, I'm going to try and make it myself. I'm going to try, yep.
And then I'm going to Heritage Con on Sunday. So Hot Lead is on Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to Hot Lead on the Saturday. And then I'm going to Heritage Con on the Sunday.
Where's Heritage Con?
Heritage Con's at the Warplane Heritage Museum here in Hamilton, Ontario.
Well, yeah, of course it is.
Same weekend.
That snuck up on me. Well, I'll see you there. I'll be there for sure.
You'll be at Heritage Con?
I'll be at Heritage Con on Sunday.
Okay, well, we're doing Wings of War. So Don and Tom, Don brings this huge collection of Wings of War stuff. We put up the club banners, 3,500 people at that event.
It's massive.
And we do demo games all day.
It's not a gaming event, though, is it?
It's not a gaming event. It's scale modeling.
They just let you have a table?
The organizers let us have a little corner, and people can play two or three rounds or the whole game, whatever they want to do. They can drop in, play for 45 minutes, go and do their thing. We get a lot of people playing.
Very cool.
And it's people who've never wargamed before.
There's modelers.
A lot of them are people who, they're interested in history. They're, as you said, they're modelers. They're interested in painting stuff. But it's never occurred to them that there's another element, which is gaming. Now, that's Wings of Glory is the World War One. Am I right?
Yeah. Wings of Glory, that's World War One.
World War One, because I always get them mixed up. I say Wings of War when I mean Wings of Glory. After Hot Lead's Heritage Con. After Heritage Con, we've got our event in Niagara Falls.
Oh, yeah, at the museum.
Niagara Falls Military Museum. Oh, I think before that is GriffCon, so that's in Guelph. And then Ragnarok, which I think is in Kitchener.
That's happening again this year.
It's happening again. It's all this time of year, every 2 weeks there's something.
Busy.
After all of that, it's On Parade.
I've yet to go to an On Parade.
Well, it's now's your turn.
Is it still at Humber?
I think it's in a different location now, because they moved from the Humber location, that's Humber College, they moved from that to somewhere else, which was quite a bit smaller. So yeah, this year they've asked us back to do demo games. We'll run a game, and people will just watch us playing and talk to us, because they're not there for that. They're there to buy their model soldiers and sell stuff and participate in the painting competition. They're not there for a gaming event, so they're not going to give 3 or 4 hours to this, but they like to come see what we're doing, play a turn or two sometimes, ask about the mechanics, ask about the figures. It's a good opportunity to just talk to people we wouldn't normally speak to. I love the painting competition, and I love the fact that there's a bunch of stuff that I can spend money on.
Nice.
Yes.
All right, let's hit the road.
All right, let's hit the road, Danny boy. I kept thinking I'd lost my passport. I'm just wearing a different pair of pants.